Vav Amar Aleph, we're up to the end of the fourth line in the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, V'Rav Sharei, is it really true that Rav permits, again, the context of the Gemara was talking about whether Bia Rishona is permissible on Shabbos, but this kind of dovetails with a larger question that we were discussing, or this issue of whether we assume that any Dover She'eno Miskaven is permissible. So at the very end of the day yesterday, we mentioned that there's two versions in the Gemara of this Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and in each version, so the Rav of that community was the one who came out to be Mekel, who assumed that Bia Rishona was Mutter on Shabbos, and that a Dover She'eno Miskaven seemingly was mutter. So the Gemara now pushes back on that. The Gemara says, is it really true that Rav holds that it's mutter? The Ha'amar Asimi Bar Chizkiya Mishmei de Rav, Hay Misuchraya de Naziyasa Asur Lahadoka Biyomatava. It's a famous idea, famous for the Gemara, that if, let's say, I have a barrel of beer that has a hole on the bottom, so the Gemara says, you're not allowed to take a rag to plug up the hole on Yontif. What's the issue exactly? So obviously, it's going to lead to Schita. The rag is going to become drenched, it's going to become inundated with the beer. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that on Yontif because it's going to lead to Schita. So the Gemara says, but hang on one second. If we assume that a Dover She'eno Miskaven is mutter, what's the issue? So the Gemara says, no. Behu afilu Reb Shimon Moda da Abai v'Rav Adami Travayu Moda Reb Shimon b'Psik Reisha v'Lo Yamas. The famous idea of a Psik Reisha, because it's inevitable by putting the rag inside of the hole on the bottom of the barrel, it's certainly going to become drenched with the beer. So that's a Psik Reisha. Even Reb Shimon agrees that a Psik Reisha is problematic. So asks the Gemara, v'ha Amar Achia Barashi Yamar Rav Halacha Kereb Yehuda v'Rav Chanan Barami Yamar Shmuel Halacha Kereb Yishim. So the Gemara just points out that we basically have these traditions that Rav seems to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning to say that a Dover She'eno Miskaven is Aser, whereas Shmuel seems to hold like Rabbi Shimon that a Dover She'eno Miskaven is Mutter. And again, and Rechia Bar Oven quoted these opinions without attribution. I mean, he just said Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon. So the bottom line is that the Gemara says, in general, Rav really should say that a Dover She'eno Miskaven is Aser because he seems to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, even forgetting about the factor of Psik Reisha. So the Gemara says, no. La'olam Rav ki Rabbi Yehuda Sfirlei, la'ach lishna da'amar dam mithkat pakin mekalkalu etzala pesach, la'ach lishna da'amar dam chaburei michbar mekalkal bachavurahu. So the Gemara explains as follows, that really, Rav does hold like Rabbi Yehuda that a davar she'eno miskaven is usher. So now we have to go back to the topics we were discussing yesterday. According to the first version of the Gemara from yesterday, that really the blood inside of the woman's uterus is really mithkat pakin, which is another way of saying that the blood is already essentially uprooted from the walls of the uterus, and all that's lacking is the breaking open of the hymen. There's no issue of creating a chabura according to that version of the Gemara. So then by opening up the Pesach, by breaking open the hymen, that's makalkel. That's a destructive act, and that's why you're not going to be chayiv. In other words, even if you want to argue that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a Dover She'eno Miskaven is usher, but again you also have to factor in the issue of makalkel, which we referenced yesterday, which is that you're doing a destructive act. On the other hand, the Gemara says, if you're going to hold like the second version of the Gemara from yesterday, that really chaburei michbar, which again just basically means that you're actually basically removing the blood from the woman's body, and the only way to get the blood out of the uterus is via relations and breaking the hymen open, and really you are creating a chabura. So the Gemara says, then that's called makalkel b'chabura. That's considered to be that. In other words, what you're doing is you're doing a destructive act vis-a-vis the chabura, and because what you're doing is destructive, so Rabbi Huda, as we've already as we pointed out yesterday, holds that makalkel is putter or perhaps even mutter on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, whichever way you turn, even if you argue that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a Dover She'eno Miskaven is usher, this is still going to be makalkel, it's going to be destructive, and therefore you're not going to be chayav. Okay, the Gemara now asks, Masiv Rav Chista, Tinokas Shalohi Giazvana Liros Venises, Beis Shamay Omer Nosnila Arba Alelos Uve Sinil Omer Macha Tichya Hamaka, He Giazvana Liros Venises, Beis Shamay Omer Nosnila Laila Harishon Uve Sinil Omer Ad Mutsai Shabbos Arba Alelos. Comes the Gemara and references a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Nida, but the following question. Let's say you have a girl who's getting married and she's only 8-9 years old. She hasn't had her period yet, even for the first time. So then, if she hasn't yet had her period, and now she gets married and has relations, so obviously she's going to bleed by dint of her Dam Besulim, right? Because of the vaginal blood that's going to come out because the hymen was broken, that's Dam Besulim. Now, Dam Besulim is not the same thing as Dam Nida. Now, Bazman Azeh, when most women are not getting married at 8, 9, 10 years old, sure most women get married today, you know, have obviously already had their periods. So today, it's very hard to distinguish what's dam besulim and what's dam nida. So we'll see in a second in the Gemara what happens if a woman gets married once she's already had her period. But if a woman gets married prior to having her first period, and now she's bleeding because she had relations, so the question basically is, how long can you assume that the blood that she's seeing is dam besulim as opposed to dam nida? Because if we knew for a fact that the blood was just dam besulim, then she would still be tahora. She wouldn't be considered a nida. So the Gemara has, so the Mishnah Nida has a machlokas about this. So according to Beis Shammai, if the girl has not yet had her period, you give her 4 nights. The first 4 nights after the wedding, so you assume any blood that she sees for those first 4 nights is dam besulim, it's not dam nida. Beis Hillel say that there's no specific number of days, it's just a question of when does the hymen heal? When does the wound start to heal itself? And then any blood that comes after that point is considered to be dam nida. That's all if the girl has not had her period. What if the girl has already had her period? So then the Mishnah also has a machlokas. So again, according to Beis Shammai, if the girl already had her period, then you can only assume that the blood she sees that night of the wedding is dam besulim. Any blood after that point is considered dam nida. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, he says no. Beis Hillel say that until Motzai Shabbos, 4 nights. Again, remember, because the Mishnah says that they're getting married on a Wednesday, so they have 4 nights up to and including Motzai Shabbos to assume that any blood that she sees is considered dam besulim as opposed to dam nida. So what's the point of all this? So the Gemara says, my lav the ilo baal matzei baal afilu b'Shabbos. Presumably, what Beis Hillel meant to say is that in a scenario where the girl already had a period, so in other words, let's say the couple had not yet had relations, or they had not yet consummated the marriage, right? Let's say they attempted relations, but they weren't unsuccessful. So the Gemara says it sounds like they can continue trying even on Shabbos. Even in other words, because again, according to Beis Hillel, they can attempt having relations for those first 4 nights, assuming that you know they haven't consummated the marriage, even if that initial first complete act of relations is done on Shabbos. So the Gemara says no. Amar Rav lo, levar mi Shabbos. Rav says no. The Mishnah men excluding Shabbos. So you have the first 4 nights, but if Shabbos is going to be the night where you have the first consummated act of relations, so maybe you can argue that actually is going to be problematic. So the Gemara then says, Amar le Abaye v'ha ad motzei Shabbos arba leilos katana. That's not what it sounds like from the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Nida makes it sound like you have the first 4 nights up to and including motzei Shabbos. It's hard to say 4 nights, until motzei Shabbos and not include Shabbos. It seems overly specific to then turn around and say, well, really, the Mishnah never meant to include Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella amar Rava kishabal. Comes Rava and says, no, the Mishnah Nida just meant once the couple already had relations, so then it's going to be permissible to have relations on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, but ikishabal, my kamash mon. What's the chiddush? Right? If they already had relations, let's say they already consummated a marriage on Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, so then of course they could have relations on Friday, right? The whole issue in the Gemara is whether you can have Bia Rishona on Shabbos. No one's talking about having the second Bia on Shabbos, so why would I think otherwise? So the Gemara says, no. Kamash mon, deshore lemiva b'Shabbos, kiddush Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel, pirza dechuka mutter likanes b'Shabbos, yafa pisha masher tsroros. The Gemara says, no, it actually is a chiddush. One could have argued that one is never allowed to have relations on Shabbos, ever, even not Bia Rishona. Why would one have thought such a thing? So the Gemara says, because Shmuel has a statement that appears in Maseches Nida, that a person is permitted to enter into a narrow opening on Shabbos, even if there's a chance that rocks and pebbles will get kicked up. So the parallel is drawn here as well. Even though there's a good chance that blood is going to come out, you're going to create a chabura, but nonetheless it's mutter. So the chiddush of the Gemara is that generally speaking, Bia is permissible on Shabbos, but Bia Rishona is a totally separate issue. The Gemara says Bia Rishona, that's going to depend on the whole discussion we've been having up until now, and which again is going to go into tomorrow's daf. But the Gemara says the only chiddush we see from this Mishnah Nida is that general relations is mutter on Shabbos, but it doesn't necessarily tell us anything about Bia Rishona. Okay. The Gemara says Masiv Rav Yosef Chasan Patur Mikriya Shema Laila Harishon Ad Motzei Shabbos Im Lo Asa Maisa. So the famous Mishnah Maseches Brachos tells us as follows. So again, a person gets married, so the din is that Me'ikar Adin Achasan is Patur from reciting Kriya Shema. But as Manas said, this doesn't apply for a whole variety of reasons, because the Rama says that today we don't really have proper kavana anyway when we say Kriya Shema. So the whole reason why Achasan is normally Patur from Shema, as we'll talk about in a second, is because he's bogged down. He's thinking about relations with his wife, or maybe he's preoccupied with the fact that he was unsuccessful in having relations with his wife. Whatever the reason is, so all these reasons basically don't apply to Zmanazah. But in theory, a chassan should be pater from saying Shema. So the Gemara in the Mishnah Brachos says on the night of his wedding until Motzai Shabbos. So again, that same 4 day window that we referenced earlier, provided that he has not yet consummated the marriage. So the Gemara asks,
what is it? Yeah, is this the Shema of?
No. It's definitely not Kriya Shema Lamita. Kriya Shema Lamita is not even Midah Rabbanah. Kriya Shema Lamita is, that's, this is, it's talking about the obligation. Yeah, it's talking about normal obligation of Kriya Shema. Yeah, normal, regular Chiyuv Doraisa of saying Shema. So the Mishnah says he's Pater from Shema. He's Pater from Shema from the night of his wedding until Motzai Shabbos, provided that he has not yet consummated the marriage. The Gemara now explains, My lav detarid debailam mival. So presumably, the reason why a chassan would be Pater from saying Shema is because his mind is preoccupied that he has an obligation to have relations. So the Gemara says, no, Amar le abaylo, detarid delo bail. The reason why he's Pater from Shema is because he's preoccupied with the fact that he has not yet consummated the marriage. It's not the fact that he's thinking about the fact that he needs to have relations, the fact that he's been attempting it and he's been unsuccessful. And again, the reason why he's Pater from Shema is because of the famous principle of Oseg b'mitzvah Pater mena mitzvah, right? When you're engaged in one mitzvah, you're Pater from another one. So the Gemara says it's not the fact that he's preoccupied with the obligation to have relations, it's the fact that he's been unsuccessful up until now. So then the Gemara says, Amar le Rava, umishum tir the Pater. So okay, so just because the chassan is preoccupied with the fact that he's been unsuccessful at consummating the marriage, is that grounds to say that he's now Pater from Shema? Elameata, tava svinaso bayam, hachinami de Pater. Let's say you see a boat that's capsizing. You see a boat that's breaking apart and there are people drowning. So does that, so yeah, your mind is probably very distracted by that, but does that mean that you're Pater from Shema? Vechitema hachinami. Maybe you say, yeah, maybe, in other words, maybe in fact you are. I see people drowning in the ocean. It's very distressing. I'm my mind is distracted. Maybe in fact I am Pater from Shema. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Va'ha'amar Rabbi Abba bar Zav da Amar Rav, Avel chaya b'chol ha-mitzos ha-amuros ba-Torah, chutz menat tefillin shenemar b'hen pe'er. An Avel, who presumably is also very distracted at the loss of one of his relatives, is chayav in all mitzvos with the exception of tefillin. The only reason why he's Pater from tefillin is for a technicality, because in Sefer Yecheskel, tefillin is referred to as pe'er, or something which glorifies you. Now again, when the Gemara says that an Avel is Pater from tefillin, there's a whole discussion to be shown on what that means exactly. Is it just the first day? Again, obviously we know that when a person is an Onain, he's Pater from all mitzvos aseh. But when a person is an Avela, so we assume lahalacha that it's Avel Yom Rishon. There's a whole machlokas whether it means what if it's after the Kvura, but it's still the first day. Again, those are all details. But the bottom line is that for at least a certain period, an Avel is going to be Pater from Tefillin, but Tefillin is the exception. An Avel is Chayv in every other mitzvah. But the question is why? If an Avel is bogged down with the fact that he lost his relative, he should be Pater from all mitzvahs based on the Gemara's logic. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Amarava Tanai, the son of Chada, Im Lo Asa Maisa Barishon Pateraf Besheni, Besheni Pateraf Beshlishi, the Sanya Yidach, Rishon Besheni Pater Shlishi Chaya. The Gemara says, this is really a machlokas tanaim. There's two different brisas that seem to give us opposite implications. One brisa says that if the chassan failed to consummate the marriage on the first night, so he's putter on the second night. If he failed on the second night, he's putter on the third night. However, the other brisa says that the exemption from Shema only applies the first two nights. Now again, remember, they're getting married on a Wednesday, and they're having, so that means Wednesday night, Thursday night, those are the first two nights. According to the second brisa, by the third night, which is Friday night, the chassan is now chayev to say Shema, presumably because he's not allowed to have Bia Rishona on Shabbos. That presumably, again, because the whole reason to exempt the chassan from Shema is because he's distracted with the fact that he needs to have relations. But if you're telling me that you can't have relations for the first time on Friday night anyway, so then there's no reason to exempt him. That seems to be the machlokas between these two brises. So then the Gemara says, V'abaye hasam nami betir depli. Abaye will push back and say, no, that the machlokas between these two brises is also revolving around the question of tirda, about being preoccupied. V'hani tanai ki hani tanai desanya hakoni sasa besula lo yivo betchila b'shabes v'chachamim matirin man chachamim amar rabba reb shimon hido amar davar shein miskavin mutter. So this is the machlokas. Is it permissible to have bia rishona on Shabbos? According to the Tanakama, it's forbidden to do so, whereas according to Reb Shimon, it's totally mutter, because again, Reb Shimon is the one who holds, as we know, that a davar she'eno miskaven is mutter. So even if it turns out that you end up causing the woman to bleed, it doesn't matter, because Reb Shimon holds that a davar she'eno miskaven is mutter. So asks the Gemara the obvious question, Amar le'abai v'hamodi Reb Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yama. So what happened to psik reisha? Didn't we start off this daf by saying that if something is a psik reisha, then even Reb Shimon agrees that it's problematic? So the Gemara says, no. Amar le'loka halalu bavlim she'in b'kien b'hataya, ela yesh b'kien b'hataya. Comes the Gemara with a fascinating idea, which is that unlike the Babylonians, who are not experts at having relations and in knowing how to have relations in such a way that you do not break the woman's hymen, or at the very least that you don't cause her to bleed, the Gemara says other people know how to have relations in such a way that you can cause a woman not to bleed. In other words, what the Gemara is basically saying is that it's not a psik reisha. It's not 100% certain that just because you're having relations with your wife for the first time that you're necessarily going to cause her to bleed. It's possible to have relations in such a way where you don't cause her to bleed. So then the Gemara says, okay, but then imkain torei lama. So then the question is, if that's true, so then what's the big preoccupation here? Why is the chassan so preoccupied about whether she's going to bleed if everyone knows how to have relations in a way that won't cause the woman to bleed? So then what's the big deal? So the Gemara says, no, lisha ain't obaki. No, the Gemara says, that the preoccupation is for the guy who doesn't know how to do this, for the people who are not experts in this area. So they're going to be preoccupied. So the Gemara says, okay, but then Yomru Baki Mutter She'eno Baki Asur. That seems to be kind of arbitrary because then there's you're basically creating this artificial split in the population. You're saying, well, the people who know how to have relations in such a way where they don't cause the woman to bleed, so they're not preoccupied. So for them, it's going to be it's going to be Mutter for them to have Bia Rishona on Shabbos. But for the people who don't know how to do it, it's going to be Asur. Usually halacha doesn't work that way. You don't say, half the population can have Bia Rishona on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, Rov Bekiyin. And comes the Gemara and says that the majority of people in the world know how to have relations in such a way that they do not cause the woman to bleed, and therefore it actually makes sense that Bia Rishona should be Mutter on Shabbos, because again, if you assume that most people know how to do this, in other words, to have relations in a way where they don't cause the woman to bleed, then it actually makes a lot of sense why Bia Rishona should be Mutter on Shabbos. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rava Bar Rav Chanan Abaye Ela Me'ata Shushvinin Lama Mapalama. So if this is true, that most people know how to have relations in a way that doesn't cause the woman to bleed, so then why did the Gemara tells us on Daf Yud Beis and a few Daf from now that one of the things that's necessary on the night of the wedding is that you need to have the groomsmen and the friends of the kala, and also you need to have like the bedcloth, the sheets, in order to determine whether the woman actually bled. In other words, you want to be able to prove if let's say, for example, the chassan comes to Beis Din and says, my wife is not a besula, so if the friend of the kala can bring the sheet and show blood on the sheet, that's a pretty good indication that he broke open her besulim, that she is in fact a besula. Otherwise, again, in theory, it's possible that she was bleeding for some other reason, but it's highly unlikely that she's just bleeding now if she wasn't really a besula. But the question is, if we're establishing, as the Gemara just did, that most people know how to have relations in such a way that doesn't cause the woman to bleed, so what is the Gemara talking about? Oh, I'm gonna the friends of the chas and the kala are gonna bring the bed sheets with blood on it. But if a man knows how to have relations in such a way where he doesn't cause her to bleed, so then there's no proof at all, because you can bring a clean bed sheet, it still doesn't prove anything. Maybe in fact the woman was a besula, but you knew how to have relations without causing her to bleed. So the Gemara says, you're right. Maybe all the Gemara meant on Daf Yud Beis is that in the event that the man was not an expert at having relations in a way that didn't cause her to bleed, so then what would happen is that if let's say the bed sheets actually had blood on them, so maybe they would get lost, maybe the chassan would try to hide them away, so you needed to have the groomsmen and the friends of the kala there in order to make sure that in the event that she bled, that they would still have the proof to bring to Beis Din if the chassan tried to claim that she was not a besula. But that doesn't necessarily mean that in the majority of cases it still is possible for people to have relations in such a way for Bia Rishona without causing the woman to bleed. Okay, then the Gemara says, Masav Rabbi Yami, Hamifis Mursa B'Shabes, Im Lasos Lepechayev, Im Lahotzi Mimena Lecha Pater. This is a famous Gemara we spoke about in the very beginning of Masach HaShabes. This is what's called Mephis Mursa. Mephis Mursa basically means you want to drain, a boil, a pimple, some kind of an abscess, right, on your face or whatever it is. So the question is, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? So the Gemara makes the following distinction. If my intent in draining the boil, the pimple, whatever it is to create an opening, I want it to constantly be open so that eventually it heals, so that's a problem. That's a malach of bona, that you're essentially creating an opening in the pimple. However, if my goal is merely to drain the pus, to drain the liquid inside of the boil, so that's pater. Now, and this is actually one of the three examples the Gemara tells in the beginning of Shabbos, where pater means pater umutter, right? Usually we know in Hilchos Shabbos, pater usually means pater avalatzer, midu rabbanan, but the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Dav Gimel that this is one of the three exceptions where pater means mutter. Again, the Gemara talks about why that is, because there's tzar involved here, so maybe here it's actually mutter lechadchila, but the bottom line is that if my intent is merely to drain the pus from the boil, that's mutter lechadchila. So the question is, why should this be so? The case of draining the boil is not at all like the case of relations. And again, the case of relations, we were trying to argue that people know how to have relations in such a way that doesn't necessarily cause her to bleed. Here, this is clearly a psik resha. Here, in other words, the blood is certainly going to come out, so why is it then that if my intent is just to drain the boil, that's okay? So the Gemara says, no, hasam pakid v'yakir, hacha pakid v'lo akir, because there's actually a biological difference, again, which goes back to what we were talking a lot about today and yesterday, which is that whereas when it comes to the blood that's inside of the woman's body, that blood is essentially is still caked into the walls of the uterus, and relations is required to remove that blood. That's creating a chabura. Whereas when it comes to the blood that's part of the boil, part of the pimple, that blood is essentially already detached, and all that's necessary is just to pop the pimple. And once that happens, then all the blood comes, all the stuff comes spilling out, but no chabura was really required to get the blood out in the first place. So that's why the Gemara feels it necessary to draw a distinction between these two cases.